We thank you for this is a day you've made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. There's so many things happening in the world, but we thank you, Father, we're not of this world. And we thank you, Father, our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. We want to be like those wise virgins that are filled with oil, watching and waiting for you. And we promise to give you alone all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said,
Amen.
I'm going to start real quick with a YouTube watcher. This one I don't think I will. I had a couple of them. I'll just cut them down today. But I had some exciting news. I used to preach a lot in California, Washington, and Canada. And we've heard from all these people that have reconnected and found us again and coming out of the same movements again. And this is one from California. And she said, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it was encouraging because last week we had one from Canada, which I'm not going to go through. We don't have enough time, but that one really blessed me. That there's a Canadian group of women that are watching our YouTubes from our old women's conventions that we did in Canada. And then this one's from California. And this was someone they were trying to reach who was deceived by the doctrines of men, winds of doctrine, and was in the same movements you've shared over the years. She's been praying for her, how to share correction with her in love and truth. And they were led to our YouTubes, and his hand was in it. He said, I've been listening to your words of correction to the body and knew you were the one to bring it to her. I sent her some of the messages on pillow prophets and many others. She stayed quiet about it. So I wrote her an email, and she proceeded to tell me she knew of you and you had come to her church in Orange County, California years ago. And she respects you then, and she's listening now.
Yay.
So that's exciting, especially when you didn't know what you were preaching. You look back and go, what did I say at those conventions? I don't know, but we've come a long way, baby. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to take a second to get there, but you can find it. Last week we talked about which hill you want to die on. And I'm continuing it, choose your battles wisely, because we're living in a day and the symptoms are a life in a world without God. And what we're living in today are the symptoms of a world that rejected God and that's rejecting God. And we're seeing it weekly go darker. And we're supposed to be the light in the midst of this darkness. And the only way we can is because our hope and trust is in our relationship with Him. But in Romans 1, you guys can look there if you want. I'm just going to briefly go through verse 21. They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. That's one thing we have to stay thankful. We can get deceived if we start complaining and groaning and moaning and all this stuff. And it's so easy to do when you see the bad things happening. But just every day wake up and thank Him for another day. Enjoy your days and be thankful that He's providing for you, and He's showing us things to come. He is showing us things to come. He said He would. But they became vain in their imaginations or their thoughts, and they were and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, the Bible dictionary says a fool is a wicked person, and that I always remember wicker. That wicker, you know, we've got some chairs made out of wicker. It's twisted. And that's what a wicked person is, with a wicked heart and with wicked thoughts. They're twisted. They're so wicked, they'll come in and they'll pretend they're true men and women of God, and they twist Scripture because they're wicked. They've been infiltrating. They've been plotting and planning to bring God's people down for so many, many years. But they become fools, these wicked people. They're wicked. Psalms 14:1, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He's an idiot. A fool, all this is the stuff I looked up, they believe in temporary pleasures. They think they're more important than eternal treasures. And I just want to encourage people, you're doing nice things for people now, you're not getting rewarded. We will be rewarded in the world to come. So even when you give people things and they aren't thankful and you're doing this and that, God is recording everything we're doing. We will be rewarded one day. So take heart, we're doing not things to please men now. we're doing things to please Him. And we're doing what He asks us to do now, His will, even though it might not be the will of men. So keep your priorities that He is the one we reverence. He's the one we serve. He's the one that we glorify. Men, Jesus knew what was in men. He didn't trust them. And we're going to find that men are fickle, aren't they? Well, look at yourself. Do you have any flaws? Well, look at your wife. Does she have any flaws? Does her husband have any? We live with each other in a flawed world. And Jesus knew that. That's why He came and He purposed to die on the cross. He didn't battle things that He didn't know. He knew that He had to go to die on the cross. He could have died other ways. He could have chose any other way. He could have, but what would He do? Many times you'd see Jesus, He'd walk through the midst of them. It wasn't His time to die yet. So He knew His goal was to die on that cross, so nothing could stop Him because of that was His goal. He didn't let a lot of other battles sidetrack Him. He didn't get in needless fights and arguments. He stated the things the way they were. Either you took heed and had ears to hear, or you were an idiot. A fool. It's someone that's void of understanding or sound judgment. The Bible says they're unwise. These unwise fools are actually running the world. The kings of the earth, the merchants of the earth, right? The kings of the earth, they get together, and what do? They attack the Lord and His anointed. The war against the saints. So they live without God. In verse 28, God gave them over. What did He give them over to? A reprobate mind. The reprobate, there again, you get that word wicked. That twisted mind. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And you can always see the god of money, the god of mammon, that's twisted everyone's thinking because they're only living for this life. They don't want to die. They want to make robots so we live forever. But they're so twisted in their thinking, they actually think they can be like God and become godlike. And this is all prophesied in Scripture. So they're filled with this reprobate mind. And don't try to pray it away. It's here. These people are here. They've been here, and God's telling us. Don't be shocked, because I think as Christians, we think there's not this much evil. But God's letting us know. In the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. What was in the day of Noah? Perversion, sexual perversion, and wickedness, right? So we're starting to see the increase of wickedness and violence. So God prepared us. He said they're reprobate, they're wicked, they've rejected God. And then it tells you in verse 29 through 32 what they're filled with. And I just picked out a couple. You can look at that yourself. When they're wicked and they're rejected God, in a world that's rejected God and going away from God and going more towards a satanic kingdom, they're filled with inventors of evil things. Now think about that. Inventors of evil things. Who is Satan? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's coming in ways to steal, shorten people's lives, kill, destroy. That's what the wicked do. They're twisted, and they want to change the way God made things, and they want to reinvent everything different. They want to remake the whole world different than what God made it. What do? They serve and they worship the creature more than the creator. And as we start things going green, we start seeing all these new climate change things come into play that have already been predicted. You're going to see the emissions of your car. They want everything. You have to have a zero carbon car. All this stuff. Why they're worshiping the earth. Well, God made the earth for man to enjoy. And what the enemy wants is to steal, kill, and destroy that. He wants to destroy what God made. Because why? They're reprobates. You have to see, they don't think like you. They're filled with inventors. Can we get around and have a think tank? What can we do evil today? These are the kind of people that this is what they do. They invent evil things. They're unmerciful. They're murderers, filled with pride and boasting. Today we see a world going away from God. We see it going away from God in our schools, our governments, churches. We see this infiltration, the seven mountains, everything's being taken over and infiltrated because we see a world that they do not want God in it. They don't want to hear what God says. They want to get rid of the light of people that talk about God. And we're going to see that. This is not new. And keep your finger there, but I do want to share this, a couple of things. So we see this world going in a different way, like Herod. Remember I talked to you about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, right? Now, here in Acts 12, verse 1, now that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now we see that Peter is taken away and put into prison. And then he was bound. And what do we see? The Lord gets Peter out of prison, right? And these people prayed, but they didn't believe God could do it. So they were shocked when he showed up. And on it goes. But the point I want you to see is verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne. Now, these reprobates, they like thrones. They like, they like outfits. Don't get me going. They like outfits. They like hats. I mean, they like this, you know, all this stuff going on. And they sat upon their throne, and they made a speech or an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it's the voice of God and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Have you ever heard a message on getting eaten by worms? Oh, we just brush over that. That's one we don't, let's rip that out. Well, what's the whole point here is that they're worshiping man. And we are not to worship a pastor, a president. We are not to worship any man and say he's a god. Why? Because there was one that was sent for us. So we know that Jesus is the one that was sent from God. And here they're worshiping men. King Herod was vexing the church. And we have to beware of the leaven of Herod. Beware of and judge yourself. Are you worshiping men? Are you following men? Nowadays, people don't watch or they don't read their Bibles. They watch a YouTube about the Bible, and they don't have a good foundation of what the Bible says, but this guy says this, and he's using Scripture. Well, hello, Satan used Scripture in the beginning, and he used it on Eve, and he used it on Jesus. So guess what? He's going to use it on you. Taken out of context, and wicked people can make the Scripture say anything they want. If you take something out of the Bible, you can make it say anything that you want it to say. That doesn't mean that's what God said. People can take a conversation you have, take pieces of this and pieces of that, put it together, make you sound like you said something. Well, you have to say what this person said in context. That's why I don't like backbiters, because what they do is they take one thing you said, they might have encouraged you to say certain things, and then maybe you said, and then they turn it around as you said. You never get the full story. Kind of like counseling a husband and wife. They both lie. It's the other one. Instead of saying, we're both a little flawed, and we have problems, and we're going to fight over who puts in the toilet paper, which way. Does it really matter? I mean, can you use it still? I mean, people have huge, major fights over things that don't really matter. That's what we're going to talk about. Choose your battles wisely. But the other point I wanted to make, beware of the leaven of Herod. Don't be worshiping men. We're not of this world. Yes, we live here, and yes, there's certain things we have to do, but no, man is flawed. And they're going to bring up scandal after scandal of Christians falling into this. It's already happening. More is to come. They want Christianity to be shaken. They want, you can't trust this leader. You can't. Thank God for the light you get from preachers, but it should be confirming what you read and know in the Bible. It shouldn't be some new thing, and it's called a wind of doctrine. Winds of doctrine, they blow around and you fly with them and you're kind of weird. Here's the next wind. Which wind is next? Well, you live long enough and you've lived through these winds. I remember the Y2K wind. Don't even get me started. Well, one of my most popular friends at the time, a nationwide preacher, was getting her bunker and everything ready, and ready with her little motorcycle full of gas and this and that. And I was like, what are you doing? If someone sees you, if this is going to happen, you run around with your bike or your motorcycle, whatever it was, they're going to steal it from you. Oh, that freaked her out. They were all prepared to get you into Y2K, and nothing happened. Well, now we're in 2020, and we're seeing another bunch of weird stuff. within the church. I'm not talking about the world, but I'm talking within the church. There's so much weird stuff. So we have to beware of the leaven of Herod. It's not new. He's always told us, you know, this. God did not create a political system. He did not create the systems of education. He did not create religious systems. These systems were made by men, so they're flawed. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So don't put your faith in the systems of this world. Keep your faith in Jesus, because no matter what shakes, he's still with us. So beware of the leaven of Herod. We're not to worship men, because in John 2:22, Jesus knew what was in man. You flawed creature, you. Why? We're so fickle. One day we like this, the next day we don't. One day we do this. That's why we needed a Savior. So what do? I love you, and I look through your flaws, and you look through mine, and we love each other with the love of Christ, because we're all flawed. So why build a case of, and I was telling some, our little nothing, we already know we're nothing, and then you attack our nothing. We're humans that need a Savior. That's why he came. Jesus knew what was in man, and he didn't commit himself to them. Don't put your whole trust in people, because when they discard you, you'll be devastated. But when you try to help people and they flip out, and trust me, this is the day we're going to see flip out people, because they can't handle the pressure. They can't handle not having a job. And these things are new to people who've never experienced before. And the church just taught you nothing ever bad's going to happen. So now what are these Christians going to do that have been fed information that doesn't match their reality? Oh, I must not have enough faith. No, you can't control the world. Well, some people think they can. They can even say when Jesus is coming now. But Jesus doesn't even know the day or the hour. The Father hasn't told him. So, boy, controllers like to manipulate everything. Well, guess what? You don't get your way. We don't get our way. We trust and obey. What do? We stay filled with oil. We watch and we pray. Hallelujah. So Jesus knew what was in man, and he didn't commit himself to them. So we love people, but we also give them grace to know they're flawed. They can hurt you. They can help you. Hurt people. We hurt people sometimes. We don't even know we're hurting them, but we've been hurt ourselves. So this is the human problem we have. So we got to try to walk in love. And now we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 9. And we got to choose our battles wisely. Because there's coming a time that we're living in now where you have to have enough energy and strength to choose your battle. Stay focused. What really matters? The things that really don't matter. You get married and someone will tell you, now you got to choose your battles wisely. Why? Because you're coming from a family of dysfunction, even though you didn't know it was dysfunctional. They're coming from a family of dysfunctional, and they didn't know they're dysfunctional. You put two dysfunctionals together, and then you try to raise kids that you can't stand the way your mom and dad raised you, but because you've been under their life so long, you're doing the exact same thing that you said you'd never do. You act like your dad, and she acts like her mom. We got to be renewed. We have to be renewed. So people tell you when you're getting married, choose your battles wisely, because you're coming from two different families and now you're merging and you're going to have a lot of fun. First, opposites attract, and then they attack. Everything about you I just love until you get married, and I can't stand that about you. I can't stand that about you. Well, choose your battles wisely, not only in marriage, but also in church families. The church represents families coming together of dysfunctions. We're all a bunch of misfits. Did you know that? And if you know that, you can laugh and you can love each other, because Jesus loves you the way he is. Not enough to keep you that way, but as you walk with him, you tolerate people more. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one to receive the prize? Okay, we're keeping our eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on Jesus, okay? Because some people are following this person and following that person, and you know that there's so much fear, and there's so much, some of the times there's truth in some of these tellers, but there's also a lot of error. You know why? Nobody knows what's going to happen in September and October unless you're on the inside of some of these reprobates, just to tell you the truth. Because why? God hasn't told us exactly what's exactly going to happen, and why fight over it? Yeah. We can disagree, but to cause division is not what God wants. He said he hates, seven things God hates. What is it? He that sows discord, strife amongst each other. So sometimes we have to say, okay, well, you believe that, and I believe this. Right now, there's so many different things right before the election. All these people are going to fight and have a fit and throw stuff. Good time to get off Facebook, unless you want to be garbage can, you know, throwing stuff on, and you have to just pollute your mind. It's a good time to just say, you know what, let them all fight. Because these are people that are really sharp online, but face-to-face, they're fake. They say stuff online they'd never say to you personally. Wow, fake world. So 9:24, I mean, I'm not telling you have to do what you feel led to do. I'm not going to fight over that. I'm going to pick my battle. I'm picking my battles today. So keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the main thing. Is this causing me to grow spiritually? Or is this dividing the body of Christ? Because the wisdom that comes from God is pure. It's peaceable. The wisdom that comes from the doctrines of devils is not pure. It's frightful. It's divisive. If you do not agree with them, they cut you off. That's real Christianity, isn't it? That's doctrines of demons. Okay, so I wasn't planning on saying that, but here we go. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. All things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Who wants to beat air? Who wants to fight false doctrines? Who wants to constantly fight, bicker, back and forth? Some things you have to expose. We're called to expose the works of darkness. But I know the Hegelian dialect, and I know that a lot of them sit at the same table, and they purposely are infiltrating you to fight amongst yourselves. Wouldn't you do that if you were the devil? He's not that smart. He's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy your friendships. So don't fight and don't divide in places that God is not even asking you to do it. Some things you're just going to have to let roll. Let some of the stuff your dad says to you, you know he's wrong, but does it really matter? Are you going to keep your relationship, or do you have to be right? So they're beating the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, and that means your thought life too. That means the words out of your mouth. You can't get words back. You can't hurt someone and then try to say, well, the damage is done, and then they have fake repentance. Well, I'm sorry if it hurt your feelings. Well, that's not repentance. Bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself might be a what? A castaway. So now there's doctrines going around that, and they have dates on them. And you know what? If you follow men like Herod and you worship men and you put up dates, and guess what happens? Well, let's try this spirit. Okay, how do we test a doctrine? Time. Well, this person says this, this, and this. Okay, if that date comes and goes, time, are you going to be shipwrecked? Shipwreck means you're going to fall apart because you were following a man rather than God. And if you're following a man or even your own desires because you're afraid, when those dates come and gone, then you have to test yourself. What was I trusting? Because I saw this in the Y2K thing. Unbelievable. People were telling everybody this, that, and you know what? It was just 2000. It was year 2000. And all sorts of people went into stress and trauma. Am I saying there's not going to be things bad happening? No, they're already happening. Open your eyes, look around our cities and see we are definitely in the days of Noah. We're in days of wickedness. We're in days of nation rising against nation. The Lord's told us that. But what do? We stay steady. We stay steady. We have our anchor. The ones you're going to see flip out are the ones that don't have a good foundation. They're following men, and when the men lets them down, or the false prophet lets them down, you're going to see a shipwreck. We don't want shipwrecked people. Our goal isn't having to be right. It's to keep us all anchored. Because you might be right. I might be wrong. I might be right. You might. You know, who cares? At this point, we're trying to walk with the Lord. And our opinions don't really matter. Time will tell. The time of what happens and events are going to play out as God knows they will. And we just trust him. We stay full. But if you're angry, if you're bitter, if you're throwing up, well, you don't agree with me, I'm never talking to you again. You're not ready to go, I'm sorry to say. You need to go get filled with some oil. Because the Bible says, those that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. So you're offended, you better go get filled. You have no gas in your tank. You're empty. Hello? Okay. Now, in the New York Times book, in a basis for a motion picture, it was called 127 Hours, a true story, a survival story of Aaron Ralston. He was 27 while rock climbing in Utah in the early 2000s. A huge boulder fell on him, pinning his right hand and his wrist against the cannon wall, and no one came to rescue him. Now, you guys all here know I had a bad fall this week, and I fell off, and I hit a pole, and I hurt my head, and kind of recovering from that still. But I had people rescue me. People came around and helped me and picked me up and sat me on a bench and, you know, blah, blah, blah. This guy had no one rescue him. No one came. Can you imagine going day after day after day and no one comes? That's very sad. So he took a knife and a pair of pliers and cut off his right hand and his forearm. It's either that or die. And this is the battles that are worth fighting. Some of these little piddly things are nothing more than winds of doctrine that are going to change. It's just a different year. These battles have been fought for 2,000 years and you're not going to solve them. I'm not even preaching on them because they're not worth it, because I haven't found anybody that's been right totally on end times yet. All it does is cause people to have false hope, or it causes them to get arrogant, gets pride, and they're afraid, they don't want to suffer anything, so they're going to get out of here. None of us knows. What we have to do is be ready. Be ready, trust the Lord, walk with him every day. That's all we can do. So choose your battles. Is it a life and death situation? Jesus chose his battle. He could have had angels come down and save him. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to surrender. He did it. It was his assignment. You're not Jesus. That's not your assignment. His assignment was to die on a cross for us. His blood had to be shed. That's the assignment Jesus came into the world for. That's what we stand for in Christianity. There's some basics that are non-negotiable. But even then, if you choose not to believe them, that's fine. I'm not going to diss you or not talk to you because you don't believe the way I do. There's a lot of Christians that are very cultish, that if you don't believe exactly the way they do, and then you find out later they were in arrogance and pride and they were wrong. It's very humbling to find out you've been wrong. So what do? We repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I did the best I could at the time. I was walking in the knowledge that I had. But when we put up self-protection, that's a rejection of other people. We're protecting ourselves. You have no idea who you're cutting off. And I used to do that. I told you that last week. When you put up a wall of, you're so hurt, you know, you're going to wall everyone out. Bless God, I'm not hurt. That's very unhealthy, because you stuff and you get angry. And you say, I'm not angry, but it comes out sideways. It comes out and your husband's going to feel it, or your kids are going to, or your parents are going to feel it. Why? Because we have to trust ourselves to the Lord. Say, Lord, vengeance is yours. I don't think this is very healthy. My flesh would just love to call them back and just give them a piece of my mind. Just a piece. But God doesn't let you do that. He'll say, just hold it, walk in love. I don't want to walk in. That's called your flesh. Right. I don't want to walk in love right now. Has anybody ever felt that way? Yeah. So choose your battles wisely. So he chose for his life. He had to cut off a part of him that he really needed, but it was no longer useful. It was causing gangrene, and he would have died. And luckily, he had the tools that he needed to cut it off. And that's what the Bible says. Sometimes there's things in our life, you got to cut them off. They're destroying you. If you don't cut them off, they will kill you. So he's just using that as a symbol thing. He's not saying literally go cut your hand off, but this guy had to. But he's giving you a statement of these things are going to destroy you and you need to keep them curbed. Wrong relationships with people. When you've been delivered out of something and you're hanging around the people that aren't delivered yet from that weakness you have, you could go back in and develop all those bad habits again. And it becomes a point where you got to cut that off and just say, you know, I love these people, but You know, they want to go to the bar every night. They want to smoke. They want to do drugs. And I love you, but, you know, I can't fellowship with you anymore. It's nothing personal, but I got to cut my hand off right here. That's what that means, you understand? So we have to choose our battles wisely, the important ones, and let the rest go. I've been a pastor for 48 years, and let me tell you, people can drive you nuts if you let them. Because what are you called to do? Try to get everyone to walk together that disagrees. Nobody's going to agree on everything. So what? It doesn't matter. You have to learn there's something that we do agree on. And let's go with that. So choose your battle wisely means there is a time to fight and a time to back down. You have to count the cost. Is it worth it to fight with your dad? Is it worth it to tell him what you know that's happening in the New World Order? Does he need to know? Does he care? He's at the age of where he thinks you're an idiot anyway. I mean, you know, as they age, they're like, you can't tell me nothing, and I know it all. You know what? Is it worth it? No. Just pick your battle, save your strength, save your energy. Otherwise, you'll be what? Beating the air. Don't talk when nobody's going to listen. Did they ask your opinion? That's a hint. They don't want your opinion, so don't give it. Sometimes I say, oh, you need this, you need that. And my sons would look at me like, do I really want to take vitamins? Well, maybe someday you will. But right now, no. That's how they were when they were teenagers. So we choose our battles wisely. Backing down is not always easy. Our pride gets in the way, and we want to prove a point. I'm right, and I know I'm right. So I'm going to push it on you till you know I'm right. Proverbs 16:18, a prideful heart leads to destruction. Was it to prove you're right? Is it worth losing everything? Count the cost. Is for you to be right, does it mean losing relationships? Is that you have to be that right? Or are you afraid of something? Maybe you're wrong and you don't want to be proven wrong. Or maybe you're a narc and you have to have your way. Only God knows those things. But one of the seven things God hates is discord. He hates it. He hates it. It's an abomination. Strife and discord. It's a sin. All right, we're close. You guys okay? Yeah. So choose your battles means to be selective of the problems, the arguments, and the confrontations that you get involved in. You can fight, and you can fight, and you can fight, and it wasn't even your battle. It's not even your problem. It was your brother. It was your sister's problem. And now, or it was your friends. And now you're an enabler and you're absorbing all their problems. And you have to remind yourself, this is not my battle. This is not my war. This is not my problem. This is their problem. You help when God tells you to help. And you have to back out when you know you can't help anymore. So you can't fight every problem. Save your time and energy for the most important battles. And let some things go. In your marriage, does it really matter? Does it really matter? Does it really matter how the dishwasher is placed and set? Does it really matter about the toilet paper? Does it really matter about this? Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Are you going to start a fight over this? Don't get stressed out over traffic conditions and have a stroke. Some of you, if we had videos in your cars, how angry you get, and you go, well, do you want to give your passenger a heart attack? You have no idea the stress that you're putting on other people. Don't pick a battle with a stupid light. You can't control it. Hello? Or give others heart attacks. People are laughing because that's what's happening. Make sure you're not wasting your time beating the air. When things get bad, I'll sit there and I'll think these idiots, and I'll say, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. You just got to go somewhere else. Otherwise, you can start fighting a battle that's in the air, and you're never going to win because that light's not going to turn until it turns. And those people around you are not going to slow down, and the more you yell at them, those stupid idiots, they're not going to hear you. Just your husband hears you, and you're causing them to have high blood pressure. Make sure you're counting their cost and the risks when you start arguing and debating. Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't major on minors. Save your energy and strength. And trust me, in this day, we're going to need it. Save your energy and your strength for when you really need it. Don't let other people's battles become your battle. Their problems are now, as you absorb in their battles, now their problems, you're worrying about them. You can't control other people's problems. If they have a messed up family, you can't go in and fix it. If you're a rescuer, we want to help and help and help. Sometimes you know what, you can't do it. You just, this is their bed, they have to lie in it and they have to figure it out themselves. And if you keep giving money to people that don't know how to save or taught it, you keep giving, you know, you have people all your life that just leech off of you. They don't have to do anything because they know you'll provide. You need to put up a boundary, which we've all had to do. So we have to control our words and our mouth and our mind to avoid needless controversies and enough courage. There's a time you got to confront. There's a time you're going to have to step forward, and sometimes there's for you to not say something is going to cause a problem. So you have to decide, is this the time that I have to confront this? There's always risks involved when you have to confront something. So you have to move gently forward and steady towards the conflict. Make sure that your heart is right. Make sure you're not angry. Wait on it a few days if you have to. Maybe wait and just say, I know I'm going to eventually have to talk about this, but I don't want to right now. Some of you never confront, and that's your problem. That is totally wrong to never, ever make your wife think everything's fine. That's the greatest meal she's ever cooked, and you've hated it for 40 years because you never stood up and told, I hate this sauce you make. Well, I thought you liked it. Well, I didn't want to start a fight. So for 40 years, you've been hating food. I mean, there's times you got to talk. So you got to get enough courage to move gently, steadily towards the conflict. Today, there is such sharpness online and fake nice to face, fake people, fake world. We need to be, according to the Bible, not quarrelsome. And yet also not afraid to rebuke, reprove, and exhort, 2 Timothy 4:2. So there's times that we're not to be quarrelsome, but then there's other times you have to say something. So you can't let everything go under the rug. Okay, so what does the Bible say? And this will be our last scripture. James 3:17. I think you need to look at this for yourself. What does the wisdom from above look like? People are all saying God said God. The movement I came out of, everybody was a prophet and everyone had a dream and God told them all, and God was so confused. He was telling one guy one thing and he was telling another, and everyone was saying it was God, and I was like, really? Wow. So what is this? How do you test a spirit, and how do you know what's God's wisdom? In James 3:17, the wisdom that's from above is first, it's pure. Then peaceable. People come fighting a doctrine. You know what? That's not the right spirit. It's peaceable. It's gentle. And easy to be entreated, full of mercy. We better have mercy for what God has had mercy on us. We better be merciful to other people. And good fruits, without being partial and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now we're called to make peace, but now on the rise is coming a great awakening, which is the false light. I'm not going to go into that right now, but just let you think. This is coming up. I've been sharing this for a few years now. There's coming a We All Come Together movement, and it's going to strive for everybody to forget your convictions, forget your morals, just unite on something else other than Jesus. We're just all going to bring our gods together, and this is going to be a great awakening. Strive for peace with everyone. And I want to say this to you out there that are going through a lot of hard times. And I know people are in a narcissistic abuse and other things. Strive for peace with everyone if it's possible, as far as it depends on you. Romans 12:18. There's only so much you can do. And then there's times you got to cut things off because now it's going to take you over. And only you and God know those toxic situations. Strive for peace, if possible, as far as it depends on you. I am not trying to be a strifer. I am not trying to force what I believe on you. I am trying to not reject you. I'm just trying to... Some people, anytime they see correction, it's rejection. That's not your problem. That's an insecurity base that they have to work through, that they can't handle being corrected. They're proud. So sometimes we make peace that requires confrontation because people are being deceived. This is a day of great deception. They're being deceived and they're following false prophets and the latest dreamers. I want to follow this. I want to do this or this. And what is it that's bringing them down the wrong path? So the goal is restoration and gentleness. Galatians 6:1, not discord. We're not pushing and forcing people to believe. Every person I've had to deal with in this one doctrine, they cut you off as soon as you disagree with them. It's not peaceable. What are you afraid of? Can't you handle someone disagreeing with you? And this is what, it's a doctrine of devils that does that. The devil divides, he kills, he steals and destroys. The wisdom from above is peaceable and it's pure. And if you divide, God doesn't say there won't be division, but his light, if you're in darkness, you don't want to be around the light. It's a different kind of division. It's you're rather giving place to the devil, and you want to follow him rather than, and this is what's going to happen with a lot of these movements, they're going to edge God out, and now they're bringing in all this other agendas. This is an opportunity. The door has been opened now for agendas to be put in place, okay, which is the beast system rising. Revelations 18. So in closing, we long for them to come to repentance. Our heart should always be, we don't want to see anyone deceived. And if we have to say something to someone, we pray they get out of the snare of the devil. That should be our heart. Not, I'm right, you're wrong. That's a wrong spirit. We want them to come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. And what is our assignment? All of us in these end times, so we aren't beating the air. We aren't in a fight that we aren't supposed to be in, but we're watching, we're waiting, we're staying filled with oil. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Not arrogant, not proud, not defensive, to walk humbly. Amen? Amen. So Father, we thank you that we are living in a day of division. You just turn on your news, they're fanning flames for hatred. We turn on the YouTubes and we just see so much confusion, infiltration. We see people that are shooken, they're shaken, and they're shaking out the wrong things rather than the right things. They're cutting off some good things instead of the bad things. People are in a day of depression, discouragement, they're losing their jobs. And Father, you said those that trust in you, you're our anchor. You're just like a solid anchor that we can put our trust in. And we trust in you. We don't want to follow after false prophets. We don't want to follow after any false doctrines or demons that divide and separate us. We believe that you've called us to be the light in this time. There's many people that want to know the Lord. They're going to wonder what's happening here and there, and we want to be the light. And we help you, help us, Lord, help us expose the works of the enemy without realizing we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Some people are deceived and they've given place to these spirits, not knowing. These are people that love God, but we can all be deceived if we don't listen to each other in humility. So we ask you for that spirit of humility in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you and see you next time.